You know, when you're on a Zoom call and you're presenting to either a client or some colleagues or maybe even some leaders in your company and your full-time job, and you are going through your presentation, you have a really strong lead-in, you have some spots where you're going to crack a couple of jokes, and when that joke hits and then all of a sudden there are crickets, there's just no response, no reaction. Yes, that has absolutely happened to me, not once, but like just many times. And, you know, there are so many reasons why we all today, especially, we all need training on how to give presentations. We need to learn how to present virtually, because if you are doing business online, you are doing some sort of video conferencing, I would even say daily. So today I have the pleasure of introducing you to Hannah Micheletti. She is a speaking coach, and today we're going to talk about some of the biggest misconceptions around public speaking and presenting, and her best tips for presenting virtually. So definitely listen to this episode. We had such a great conversation, so many amazing tips that Hannah is dropping today.
You're listening to the Side Gig Central podcast, where we truly believe that your side gig has the power to change your life. My name is Elena Ciccatelli, and I'm a small business owner and side gig hustler just like you. I'm so excited to help you redefine what success looks like in today's gig economy. Listen in on honest conversations that I have with the experts and from hardworking side gig entrepreneurs just like you who are killing it with their side hustle. Learn the best strategies, tips, and tricks that have helped others pave their own way and craft their dream side gig. So if you're ready to get started, up your game, and do the work, you're definitely in the right place. Let's get started.
Hannah, welcome to the show. Let's talk about public speaking and presenting and just being a charismatic person, front woman for your business. How are you doing today?
I am great. I woke up at 6 a.m., so I am ready for the day to get rolling.
Oh, my gosh. Well, bless your heart. I know I am East Coast time, so Hannah got up early to make sure that we got this episode done, and I appreciate you. I appreciate that early riser right there. So let's talk about your entrepreneurial journey. Let's talk about how you got to where you are today. I want to know all the details, so let's get to it.
Yeah. So actually, I remember when someone used the E word for the first time, entrepreneurial, which is a mouthful. And I was like, oh, no, that's not me. And they were like, well, yeah, it is. That's what you've done. And I was like, no, that word is definitely not associated with me, because I didn't really understand what it meant. So I did not associate entrepreneur or entrepreneurial with myself. And I'm still not even sure that I do. I don't know why. But for me, that started, I was thinking about this question actually, and in high school is when I kind of was really entrepreneurial. Every summer in between high school, I didn't have a regular job. I nannied, I gardened, I dog sat, I house sat, I watched cats, I watched birds. I can tell you all about the crazy animals that I watched, but I didn't ever have the regular job. I didn't work at Starbucks or Jamba Juice like my friends, or go to the mall. So I always kind of, you know, it's easy to look back and see the dots connected. That's what Steve Jobs always said. You can look back and see the dots, but you can't actually see them connected when you're doing it. So I'm a public speaking coach. That was when I was still working at Under Armour, and I was in product line management for their outdoor footwear division, which meant that I helped kind of wrangle the cats and create lines of footwear for hunting, fishing, trail running, and tactical military footwear.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
It was awesome. And I was so excited to work for Under Armour when I joined. It just didn't quite live up to the expectations.
I feel that. Oh, I feel that in my heart. Good.
Yeah. And while I was working at Under Armour, it was a kind of a common theme. I was the person people would go to for presentation help, for interview help, for meeting help, probably at least a quarter or monthly, you had to lead a presentation of sorts. And people didn't know what to do. They didn't know what their slides should look like. They didn't know how to write a presentation. They didn't know how to deliver a presentation. And not only that, but you had a lot of barriers in the way. So we worked out in Portland, Oregon. Baltimore, Maryland is where Under Armour is headquartered. So you did a lot of video conferencing. And video conferencing, as we all know, in a COVID world, is very different than in-person presenting. But people had to fly out to Baltimore all the time to give presentations. So I was someone that people would go to for presentation help. Like, hey, can you look this over? Can you edit my slides? How do I start it? How do I be funny? How do I close? What do I do with Q&A? I was that go-to person for that entire time I was at Under Armour. And that was not irregular. When I worked at the bank, when I worked at Enterprise, every other job that I had, people came to me for presentation and public speaking help consistently.
I love that so much. So now, as a speaking coach, you are full-time helping people make sure that their message is clear and making sure that they don't, I don't know, pee their pants before they actually give their presentation. I don't know how to like say it eloquently. So I want to talk about some of the biggest misconceptions around public speaking and presenting. What do you think some of the biggest misconceptions are?
Yes. So one of my favorites is that people, if they're unsure about how to go about it or they don't have a lot of experience, they look to people in their company that seemingly do. So they look at other leaders in their company. And it's not that they mimic them. It's that they go, okay, well, they're a leader and that must work for them. And they do a lot of presenting and public speaking. So I'll take some tips from their book. I'll pick up what they're putting down. And that is one of the biggest mistakes, because I hate to say it, and there are probably people on this podcast that are leaders in companies, but there are so many people that are leaders that are poor public speakers and poor presenters. So looking at leaders within your company and saying, I'm going to do what they do is actually not a good idea, because what you have are a lot of people who use corporate jargon, which is one of my biggest pet peeves. Drives me nuts. Yeah, I'm shaking my fist. Like, please don't do that. Everyone knows you're doing it and everyone hates it. And also, it doesn't mean anything. Sorry, what is putting something in the parking lot and boiling the ocean and punting mean? I don't know what that means. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sorry, Hannah. I don't have enough bandwidth to handle that question. Oh, goddamn bandwidth. Oh, sorry. I cursed. Keep going.
I don't have the time. I'm not available. That's what we could say instead of bandwidth, but those things are really personal. So we say bandwidth. So instead of looking at leaders in your company, what I encourage people to do is look at the skills that you already have, which is something that I do when I work one-on-one with clients, but that's a solve. So another problem that I see with public speaking is people try to be someone that they're not. So they look at leaders or they look at other speakers and they go, oh, I have to be funny. I have to crack jokes. And then what happens is you crack jokes and you get the polite golf clap laugh, like, ha 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 ha, that was a good one. But you don't really get those gut-busting laughs from people.
Right. Oh, that's so true. I love both of those because I think it all goes back to really identifying your brand voice and understanding what you sound like, being okay with what you sound like. I know for me personally, I struggled a long time with coming to grips with my brand voice, what I actually sound like. And it's not an easy thing. It doesn't happen overnight. Would you even, dare I say, is it something that evolves over time? You can't just like snap your fingers and be like, oh, voila, here's what I sound like. And this is me authentically.
You hit the nail on the head. That's why when people come to me and they're like, I need a Band-Aid fix. I have a presentation in 3 days. Can you help me? I mean, yes, I can help you. It's kind of like saying, I have a soccer game coming up in 3 days. Can you help me? It's like, kind of, but not really, which is why I offer a 10-week service for people, because it does take time to figure out your style, to figure out your voice. And I like the word voice because it's twofold. So A, you have to get used to hearing your voice out loud and listening to it back. I will be the first to tell you, no one likes it. I did not like it to begin with. And B, when people say voice, they mean, I think, more what you were saying. They need it to be authentic to them. They need it to feel real. They need to feel connected to it. You know, do you use humor? Are you soft-spoken? Are you a loudspeaker? Are you a hand talker? You have to figure out your voice and your language. And that's critical to being an authentic speaker and leader. And when you don't seek that out, you become one of those parrots where you just use words like bandwidth and toss it over the wall like every other leader at your company, and you don't sound like you.
Yes. Oh, it's so true. It's so true. And when we're on the entrepreneurial, that E word, when we're on that entrepreneurial journey, the only way that you can get to be a category of one and you can differentiate yourself is your voice. And especially if you're in front of your brand and you are representing your brand, that's a whole other can of worms. But maybe we'll do part two of this. So best tips for presenting virtually. We are on a Zoom call right now. I'm sure everybody's probably zoomed out at this point. Google Hangouts, GoToMeeting, the works. This is how we conduct business now, right? I mean, it got kicked into high gear ever since March rolled around. So, Hannah, what are your best tips for presenting virtually?
Yes. So one of the reasons that everyone is Zoomed out or Google Hangouts out and it's taxing is that when we see people on a screen, we are not able to pick up on all of the nonverbal cues. But our brains are still searching for the nonverbal cues. We're still looking for those. They're called micro expressions. A micro expression is when someone says something and you react and your eyes dilate or your eyebrows narrow or your crow's feet scrunch. It's a tiny microsecond reaction to what someone has said. And it informs us when we're talking to a group of people because we react to micro expressions. We of course react to larger facial expressions and larger nonverbal cues, but we don't have those available, but our brains are still looking for them. So they are exhausted, searching the screen, looking at every single person, looking for those cues. So the way to be effective in a virtual call is to be extremely clear with your words and your tone of voice, because tone of voice is actually nonverbal. It's I don't know how to say it. It is verbal, but it's not the same for everyone. Like, if you think about it as your mom and she's like, I'm very disappointed in you versus I'm very disappointed in you. Those are two different things that are expressed tonally. So they're considered a nonverbal communication tool. So number one, be extremely clear with your words and your language. Avoid the corporate jargon. Number two, if you can save people 5 minutes of time and tell them that up front, you are going to be their best friend. They're like, ugh, I know on those meetings with Hannah, she's going to get us out 5 minutes early. And number three, remove distractions from the background. And here is why. This applies to public speaking when you're in person too. When we have things in the background, that's all anybody focuses on. The minute we get bored, we just look at whatever is in your room. So make sure it's boring or it's a wall or it's fairly uninteresting. If you're like me and you live in a swamp of books up in your office, don't film in the swamp of books because everyone's going to be staring at the swamp. Remove anything that possibly could distract people in the background so that they are solely focused on you and the message that you're sharing that is clear.
Yes. Oh, those are such good tips. And I do find myself when I'm on meetings sometimes, I'll say, oh man, how does that person afford that beautiful kitchen on this crazy salary that we cannot? That's another story. Impactful lessons. What have you learned in your journey as an entrepreneur? And yes, I'm going to continue to call you an entrepreneur, Hannah. What's the most impactful lessons that you've learned so far in your business?
You learn the most from the first clients or the first businesses that you work with, because you're just starting out. You kind of don't totally know what you're doing, but you sort of know what you're doing. You're figuring it out, and you're so excited that someone said yes to you. They might not be a great fit. they might be a great fit. But you learn so much from that very first person. I still remember my very first client, and they ultimately were not the best fit for me, but we did do good work together. But you learn so much, I think, from the people that are not perfect fits for you, or you say yes when you should not have. And that would be the second thing that I've learned the most, is to say no. No is a very hard word for me. I worked in sales for over 10 years. And in part of being in sales is saying yes a lot, because you want to make sure that the customer is happy. Yes, no problem, I can take care of that. I worked at Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and your job was to say yes regardless. It did not matter what they asked for. You said yes. And when you work for yourself, you have to have better boundaries, and you have to learn to say no. And I know in saying this, people will be like, oh, that's such a great lesson, I'm going to take that to heart. It'll take time to actually implement and do for yourself.
It's not
one.
Yeah, and I love so much that you had mentioned the enterprise example, because a lot of listeners are making that jump from corporate to entrepreneurial. They're dabbling in their side gig. They're scaling it up to a full-time business. So mm-hmm. Yes, it absolutely takes time. But you're right. You learn as you go, and you're right. You're like so hyped up and excited that somebody said yes to you, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to like throw all the bells and whistles in this thing. So such great advice. I love that. We're coming up to the Never Would I Ever segment of the show, where where I ask every guest to fill in the blank to a Never Would I Ever question. And Hannah, your question is, when it comes to public speaking, never would I ever?
I'm going to go with my gut reaction, and never would I ever push someone under the bus or sell someone down the river.
Ooh.
What I mean by that is, when you're speaking in public, first of all, please always have an outline, because if you don't have an outline, you will sell someone down the river, or you will push someone underneath the bus, intentionally or unintentionally. Typically happens in wedding toasts, which is unfortunate. It does. It's awful. But you don't ever want to bring up negative qualities in another person or in another part of your organization when you are speaking. And that is something I would never, ever do. There's a way to lightly talk about maybe how you disagree with another person, or you disagree with a way and or a part of your organization does something, but never would I ever sell someone down the river or push them under a bus in a speech, because it's not going to help me, it's not going to help them, and it's just not good to put that out in the world.
Yes. Oh, that is such, that was not the answer I was expecting. That was like a curveball with a little bit of a spin on it. Oh, I love that. That's really good.
That was like my gut feel on that one. If you think about it in a wedding setting, we've all been to weddings sometimes. And what happens when we get the open mic is like Cousin Brad gets up there, and Cousin Brad's has like had like two whiskey sours, and that's a lot for Cousin Brad. And Cousin Brad just starts chatting, and then like within 5 minutes, which is way too long for a speech, he's already talked about his brother Tim is getting married and all the negative qualities of brother Tim, and that's not the point of the wedding toast.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. Guys, make sure you watch that alcohol consumption, plus make sure you have an outline. These are amazing tips, Hannah. I am so excited that we did this episode today. Now, I know everybody needs to go and connect with Hannah. I actually found Hannah on Instagram. So, Hannah, where could everyone go and find you and connect with you? I know everybody wants to.
Yes. So I am probably most active on Instagram. I'm also pretty active on YouTube. My handle is Articulate with Hannah, and that is WITHHANNAH. My name is a palindrome. And also online on my website, www.articulatewithhannah.com. I try to keep it all the same and uniform. You can also email me, articulatewithhannah@gmail.com.
I love it. Yes, your name is definitely a palindrome. Oh, man, you're just speaking my language here. This is see, it's just so fun because I know we went back and forth in the DMs. I was like, man, Hannah is smart. I got to get this girl on the show. Thank you so much for everything today, Hannah. And yeah, I can't wait to see what you do next.
Yes, thanks so much for having me. It was a blast.
Thanks so much for listening to the Side Gig Central podcast. You can dive into the show notes for this episode and for all past episodes at sidegigcentral.com. If you love the show, share it with a friend. And while you're at it, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. I'll talk to you very soon. And by the way, keep up that side hustle because it looks good on you.